welcome to Night of the Living Geeks. If you geek out over it, we've got a podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Podcastica, a Doctor Who review podcast here on NOTLG.com, episode 305, The Underwater Menace. My name is John, and joining me, as always, is my good friend Taylor. Taylor, I didn't have anything this time.
I know, I'm surprised.
Wow, I just went on autopilot and then went, no, you usually say a thing about the episode every time we travel to Atlantis, anytime we become fish people, I don't know.
That's right. Every time we get suckered into being turned into fish people.
Yes, yes. Taylor, how are you?
I am better than I was the last time we recorded.
Yes.
I am not completely better yet, though. I tell you, this illness is fierce.
And it is not the vid.
No, it is not.
Weird.
It is not. I mean,
good, honestly, but also weird.
Well, yeah. It has so far made its way through 60% of the household. I'm hopeful that the other 40% aren't going to catch it, but it is basically a 3 week long
yikes
thing to go from sick to, oh, I think I'm getting better, to, oh, wait, no, I have an ear infection.
Oh,
to now I have persistent congestion and a cough to, okay, I think it's pretty much gone.
It's too much.
And it's literally like Perrin, myself, and Grayson just 1 week, 1 week, 1 week. So we're all just kind of like making our way through.
Wow.
It's been insane.
Yikes.
Absolutely insane. Yeah. So be careful out there, folks.
Yes, indeed.
And definitely if you think you catch this thing, you know, go get checked early, because don't be surprised if you get an ear infection.
Yikes, man.
Yeah. My left channel is so muted right now.
Ugh.
It's slow, but everything is quiet.
You know,
my phone's turned up when I'm listening to stuff.
And, yes. Your comment from yesterday makes a whole lot more sense.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. My ears were pretty plugged when I was watching this story we're about to talk about.
Oh boy. Yes, indeed.
But the energy is coming back up.
Wonderful.
The voice is better. The coughs still come occasionally.
Yes.
So hydrate.
There you go. There you go.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I am in, has it been a full, a little over a week since Lauren has left to go to Oregon to be on set for a movie. It's been fine. It's just boring, I think, is what it is.
I get it.
Only having to worry about myself and these dogs, these little puppies, mm-hmm. which we'll get into making me happy Fortnite. But got some rain down here. That was interesting. And my mother is constantly checking in on me.
Like a good mother should.
I agree. But also, so she called me 3 days after. No, she texted me 3 days after Lauren left and said, how are you? And I was like, Mom, I'm fine. She's like, did you go out this weekend? I'm like, I took the dogs out. Does that count? She said, no, you have to go. You have to go do something by yourself. And I was like, I don't have to do anything. I'm 40 years old. I do what I want.
Right.
Henson go. So basically I am alone, so I am also playing babysitter to these little pups, and I thought Henson was underneath my legs and now he's gone, but it's fine.
Okay.
He's had a trying day, which we will get into with what's making me happy this Fortnite, which I guess we'll just segue into now.
Why not?
So Henson, as we just mentioned, he has an allergy shot that he needs every 2 weeks. And as soon as Lauren said, I'm going to be gone for a month, I went, uh-oh, how am I going to do that? So I called our vet and they said, we have a vet tech that used to work here that started their own business. They make house calls.
Oh.
So here's her information. And I went, okay, great. So I would talk to her early or at the end of last week, said, this is what I need. She's like, no worries. So she came today. It went fine. She's very great. So that's making me happy, because Henson is, he always knows when we give him his sleepy medicine that he's getting a shot. So his tail has been down for the better part of the day, but we got through the shot relatively painless. So Yeah. And she apparently lives, she said, I put your address in and I went the wrong way. And she's like, do you know, want to know where I live? I was like, sure. She literally looked out my window and said, I live in that building right there.
Oh, wow.
I was like, what? She's like, you're now my closest client. And I said, that's great. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. She was great. She's really good with the dogs. And I mean, it was nice to get that done today and not have to worry about it for another 14 days.
For sure.
What else is making me happy this Fortnite? I saw Ghostbusters.
Oh, how was that?
I liked it. I thought Afterlife was better.
I still need to see that.
Afterlife was very good. It'll hit you in the feels, especially, you know, if you're a huge Ghostbusters fan, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I thought it was very well done. This one was good. I like that we're back in New York, but, you know, Ghostbuster movies are basically, they have the same premise, if you really think about it.
I mean, if you've ever watched ghost hunting shows, they all also kind of have the same premise, so makes sense.
So, you know, it's fine. I like it. I thought it was good. I had a good time. What else is making me happy this Fortnite? MLB The Show came out. I can't remember if it was out the last time we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing that like crazy.
I don't remember, but yeah.
So, you know, and what else? That's it.
Nice.
That'll do. What about you, Taylor?
Gosh. Well, I feel like first I need to apologize to literally everyone because I've been so sick this month. I get like that first tweet out being like, hey, we have a new episode. And I just, without TweetDeck, I don't get any more out. I just have had like no energy and no motivation to do any of that.
Well, I think we all understand that. And I appreciate that you even put out tweets.
Well, I try, and I will make more of an effort with both this and the next episode of Phenomena City Limits. But what's making me happy? Let's see.
Yeah, you got a big one from I think two days ago.
Yeah, I do. It's crazy to think that my youngest son has been doing karate for 7 years now.
Wow.
More than half his life.
Yeah.
And last Saturday was the culmination of a lot of it with his black belt test.
Yeah.
And let me just set this up for you folks. It starts at 6 a.m. on a Saturday.
Oh, does it really? Oh, boy.
Yes. Mostly because they don't want to interrupt the actual scheduled classes.
Yeah.
And so it either has to start at 6 a.m. or it has to start at like 2 in the afternoon and go until dinner time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that means we're up at 5 a.m.
Woo!
Getting ready, getting some breakfast in us, getting everything together, and so on and so forth. So yeah, it starts at 6 a.m. It's basically a little more than 3 hours worth of just karate.
Yeah.
And then a 2-mile run.
Oh, what?
Which, yeah. And then a 2-mile run. Which they, you know, are expected to finish under 20 minutes.
A 2-mile run in under 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I remember, do you remember in high school when people would run the 20-minute mile?
yeah.
You gotta run two?
Look, I would be the person with the 0.0 I don't run sticker on the back of my car. Look. So the fact that my kiddo can do a sub 20 2-mile
That's
is
crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I tell you, it was challenging at first because really kind of did a little bit more protein than carbs to start. And so within the first hour was crashing.
Oh, boy.
And that was actually happening to a few kids. But thankfully, we had gotten some extras at Starbucks on the way over.
Yeah.
And we were like, dude, come here. Have a little bit of this, you know, and they thankfully, you know, gave them breaks to kind of refuel. And he made it through.
Great.
And he made it through and he passed his black belt test.
Yeah.
And so in April, there will be the belt promotion and we are super stoked.
That's
and then
awesome.
He proceeded to basically rest on the couch the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, I bet.
The entire rest of the weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But yeah, super stoked for him. Super proud. Like, yeah,
love it.
I don't have the words. I am that love is it. Making me very, very happy this week.
Love it. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm getting healthier, so
That's also good. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to this Who news, Taylor.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. And we have quite a bit of news. In fact, I honestly think our last story, we're also going to end up mentioning in our first story. So we may just save ourselves a little bit of voice here.
Yeah.
But, ladies and gents, do we have ourselves one hell of a trailer?
Yeah.
For Shooty's first season.
Holy moly. There is so much in this. This is the trailer of all trailers. They did such a good job on this. I've seen so much hype from literally everyone. Amazing trailer.
Yeah. I am so excited. The some of like the wider scenes, we have basically a like destroyed London.
Yes.
We get some glimpses of Jinx Monsoon. We get what looks like a genuine musical episode. Or just a whole lot of singing and dancing, who knows? Dinosaurs.
You know I love that.
The legendary butterfly effect.
Yes.
Gag. It just, man, you can tell there's some amazing budget going into this. It looks insane.
Yeah.
I am so excited for it. And contrary to what we thought last episode, the new season will actually start, I guess technically you would call it late in the evening, May 10th.
Yes, double, dual.
Yeah, two episodes will drop first, and then one a week until, I guess it would be, what, early, almost mid-July?
Yeah, about.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there are all sorts of breakdowns. I'm not going to dive into them because I really just want to jump into this ride.
Yeah.
And enjoy it, but it looks like it is going to be just a smashing season, and I cannot wait to watch it and review it and talk about it and get excited about it and then go, wait, we've got to wait how long until Christmas?
It's fine. We get it's back every year now. So I'm fine with waiting because we're not waiting for 2 years.
No, but oh man, I can't wait. So yeah, the Gizmodo article that we're looking at right now says Doctor Who returns Friday, May 10th at 7 p.m. to Disney Plus worldwide, which isn't exactly worldwide unless you live in the UK.
Yeah.
Where you can catch it Saturday the 11th at midnight on iPlayer. And then I think they have like a proper airtime later on Saturday. So this whole like everything everywhere all at once kind of release, as an American, I'm very excited for. Because I feel like we have been kind of wanting that for quite some time.
Yeah.
At the same time, it feels a little weird with it actually not airing on the BBC first.
Yeah.
Kind of just as that, I don't know, the Anglophile side of me
is
kind of like, this is kind of weird.
Strange.
You know, so I don't know, maybe it may just be reflecting the fact that, you know, not everyone has terrestrial TV anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so many people, you know, they have iPlayer or Disney Plus or whatever, and they're consuming it online more.
Yeah. Wow. Do you know what else I just realized? Technically,
what's that?
This is the first time Americans are getting Doctor Who without commercials.
Wow.
The way it was meant to be seen.
Granted, we also got that for the 60th anniversary specials, but you're right.
Well, yeah, that was included in that thought because I completely forgot about that until right now for some reason. I think when you were talking about it, I was thinking about it, I went, oh, yeah, because everything was on BBC America where we had
commercials jammed in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Commercials, and then they'd play a clip in the middle of the commercials. That was so dumb.
Oh, God, that's right. Yes.
It was so dumb. Yes. I'm so glad they're not on it that was anymore. Anyway.
Oh, I don't miss cable. Well, anywho, did you know, John, that the TARDIS is writing a memoir?
No. How is that possible? Well, it is. I get it. It is possible.
Yeah. Coming soon, BBC Books will publish the first memoir from the TARDIS, packed with stories from across time and space and featuring exclusive photography. Experience the Hooniverse through the eyes of the TARDIS. Of course, the book is called I, TARDIS. It'll be available both in hardback and audiobook from the 11th of July this year. And that, I'm going to assume, is a British release date. Because looks like the link in there takes you to a number of pre-order sites. And yes, Amazon.co.uk is one of them.
Wonderful.
So honestly, books are region free. So if you want to just order it from Amazon UK, do it. but yeah, this kind of a curious concept.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. Like, why not? Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Let's do it. I'm all for it. I will pick it up at some point. I'm sure. Maybe I can convince my local library to get it.
Maybe.
So the folks over at Cult Box have been paying close attention to the idea that Susan Twist, who is a character we will meet, or I guess technically have sort of met, but we'll meet more. Meet more? Sure. Why not? In the new season, we'll play a huge foe. So we've already seen her as Mrs. Meridew, Sir Isaac Newton's housekeeper.
Yeah.
And we have also seen her in the club in which Ruby and the band are playing.
Yes.
In our Christmas special. But according to The Sun, which, okay, it's The Sun. Work with me here for a second. Twist will play tech businesswoman Susan Triad, head of Triad Industries. In the new season, Triad is referenced by Mel in the 60th anniversary special episode, The Giggle, as she attempts to use dynamic software to align telescopes and blah, blah, blah. We've also seen Ruby disembark from a double-decker bus with a Triad technology ad on it.
Mm-hmm.
So Triad and stuff, I think, is going to be kind of our what do we want to call it, our bad wolf of the season?
Yes, or Harold Sachs.
Oh, yeah, sure. There you go. Exactly. And not only that, but there was actually, I guess, an interview that Russell was having with a couple of people, and someone noticed that, like, there's like a framed magazine cover up behind him, and it actually was like a prop from the show.
Yeah.
It's the Union Jack magazine, which I guess you can, you know, it's a British magazine, and it's got Susan Triad on the cover.
Yes.
And so yeah, eyes everywhere. But The Sun has to say this: Susan's character is going to appear throughout space and time, following the Doctor through his new adventures, but she won't be a friendly face. She's going to be a huge foe for the Time Lord and Ruby to face off against, and the reveal will be explosive.
Explosive, like a Time Lord regenerating explosive?
That would be interesting. Now, what? Let's just speculate. What Time Lord likes to play with technology? Mm. I certainly have some ideas.
Yes, you do.
Some four-letter ideas. Not bad words, folks. Don't.
No.
No. I think it's the Ronnie.
Yeah, that's what I would think, too.
Please. Now, of course, you know, they go on to speculate, well, with a first name like Susan, well, that's also the Doctor's granddaughter's first name. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. But we've already talked about when the new season will start, so we're not going to worry about that article.
No.
And I kind of feel like maybe we had hints of this one as well, but it is confirmed.
Yes.
Grand Moff Steven is coming back to do some writing for the show.
At least an episode.
Yes.
Season.
Yes.
So it's already like edited and ready to go, basically.
Yeah.
Well, probably it's probably in the late stages of editing, but you know what I mean.
Oh, totally. And there is some speculation that he has written or has in part written this next Christmas special.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was the original thing that we heard.
Was the
Christmas special, but this is an episode, and then maybe the... Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see about the Christmas special. That is, I would still file that under rumor, but everyone's best guess is that it's probably episode 3 of the new season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, and honestly, I'm interested.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I know he's not everyone's favorite.
Yeah.
You know, but everybody has their preferences, and
yes.
I'm okay with it.
Yes. Something you might not be okay with, Taylor, is the Underwater Menace, which is what we reviewed this week, starring the birthday boy, Patrick Troughton, as Indeed. The Doctor, Anneke Wills as Polly, Michael Kreis as Ben, and Frasier Hines as Jamie. It was written by Jeffrey Omri, that's what I'm going to say, and directed by Julia Smith. It first aired January 14th through February 4th, 1967, and is the fifth story of season four. And we have a good old slew of story notes brought to you by the fine folks over at TARDIS Wiki.
Indeed, we do. And we love a good working title. But I think, honestly... The Underwater Menace may beat all of these. This story had the working titles of The Fish People.
Yikes.
Yep. Under the Sea.
Which would have predated that.
Yes. Also referred to as Doctor Who Under the Sea.
All right.
And get this, completely predating.
Donald Glover's show?
Donald Glover's show.
Atlanta.
Thank you. I was like, I had Glover and I was just like, wait, Crispin, no, wait.
You're probably also thinking of Childish Gambino at the same time.
Yes, I am. And my brain just fritzed out.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
We definitely would not have called it Hotlanta. I'm not even sure if anybody in Atlanta calls it Hotlanta anymore.
Probably not. I don't know.
Probably not. Anyway, because Jamie isn't actually shown inside the TARDIS in The Highlanders, which is the story before this one, episode one of this story has his bigger on the inside moment.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Actually kind of crazy to look at this and go, oh, wait, this is Jamie's first story as a proper companion.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Episode one of the serial concludes a run of 12 missing episodes, which begins with episode four of The 10th Planet. As of 2020, which admittedly is 4 years ago,
yeah,
this is the longest run of many missing episodes.
That is so wild.
I know.
That's just like, I know. Most of his run. Anyway.
A good portion of it, at least of his first season here.
Yeah.
According to Anneke Wills on the DVD commentary, the main cast didn't get on with director Julia Smith. Quote, we'd mess around and she would get more and more like a school teacher. So we got naughtier and naughtier. Pat would call her a miserable old witch. but that's what we were like. We had power. We were the main actors. Otherwise, most of the directors we got on really well with. Only Julia had a bad time with us. We made her life a misery.
Oh, boy.
Dang.
Well.
Yeah. In the opening TARDIS scene, Polly, Ben, and the Doctor are each heard thinking, quote-unquote, about where they'd like to land next in a rare example of internal monologue. This was achieved by pre-recording the actors' voices and playing them back during the making of the episode.
Huh. All right.
Yeah. In an early draft of the story, Zaroff's motivation to blow up the Earth, because it's always a beautiful night to blow up the Earth, stemmed from his being driven mad by the deaths of his wife and children in a car crash.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And then he was just somehow in Atlantis. Okay.
Yep. Maybe they crashed into the ocean and he ended up in like, I don't know. I'm speculating here. While the war machine still remains the only time in history, in the history of the classic series where the Doctor is referred to explicitly as Doctor Who, although the term also features in An Unearthly Child and The Gunfighters, the Doctor's note to Zaroff in the first episode is signed Dr. W, making this the second closest the Doctor's ever come to referring himself as Doctor Who until the 12th Doctor used it in World Enough in Time.
Now... That was actually different for us because we watched the animated one, which we didn't actually mention. It just says, I believe, I have a secret is what the animated one says.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not signed. Yeah, it's not signed by anyone. I think the original note, I feel like here it is. I have it. The original one is vital secret will die with me. Dr. W. That's the original note.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think I was just like, I wanted to see what some of the stills looked like of different, and I came across that note and I'm like, mine didn't do that.
Interesting. No, I appreciate you looking that up. That's good. This is the first Doctor Who story about the lost city of Atlantis.
Has there been one since?
I don't think so, but I would like to point out that I do kind of appreciate that, you know, it's not just the upcoming season of Doctor Who that delves into the world of, you know, basically myth and legend.
Uh-huh.
almost the supernatural, because Atlantis does get lumped in with that quite a bit.
Yes.
This is, however, the final story in which the Second Doctor wears his stovepipe hat.
Yeah.
It makes its last on-screen appearance during the closing TARDIS interior scene of episode 4 when it's worn by Polly. And you can see that in the telesnaps. I can't remember if they did that in the animated version.
I don't think they did.
I don't think they did either, because I don't recollect that. It was also the last story to show the Second Doctor's fondness for disguises.
Yes. I can also say Atlantis was in the Time Monster.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And that looks like it. The only other.
That's right. Place. All right.
Have we watched this?
The Time Monster?
Have we?
I think we.
I don't know if we have.
Hang on. Give me 2 seconds here.
Oh wait. Yeah, maybe we have.
Who eps left? Third.
I don't.
Time Monster. Yes, we have.
We have. Okay. Oh boy, I don't remember that at all.
Well, maybe it's time to revisit it, because it really is quite the story.
I just saw that Benton gets turned into a baby, and I'm like, I don't remember that. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Patrick Troughton, birthday boy as he is today,
yeah.
Was reputedly particularly unhappy about the production. He's reported to have described the show as having ridiculous costumes and makeup of the fish people. Now, if you look at the actual pictures from production, yes, they are silly.
Yes, they are.
Completely silly. They look a lot more like something out of, like, I don't know, like, you know, Scooby-Doo versus a Tiki Monster.
Yes.
In the animated version. And I dig it. I dig how that looks. But boy, yeah, the originals are like, oh, okay, we're doing this, huh? Innes Lloyd disliked the story, admitting that it did look like something from a 50s American B-movie.
Not wrong. No.
Anneke Wills was unhappy that Polly was reduced to being a damsel in distress. She and the rest of the cast particularly disliked the infamous scene where Jamie slaps her to break her out of a mental breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
For the record, people, outside of the movie Airplane, yeah, that doesn't really work.
No.
And for those of you who've seen the movie Airplane, thumbs up. Thank you. It's a great movie. Many of the swimming, quote unquote, shots were actually performed in midair using Kirby wires.
Well, I mean, we technically never see that.
I know. And they don't. TARDIS Wiki does not do a whole lot of, like, okay, here's story notes just for the animation. Yeah. Here's story notes for the original story. So
that would be interesting to see, because there was a lot of swimming going on.
There was. The serial was initially abandoned due to being overambitious and replaced by William M's The Imps, which Julia Smith was going to direct. When that serial was abandoned due to M's making slow progress, it was decided to resurrect the underwater menace because there were no other scripts available.
The Imps was an unproduced Second Doctor serial written by William Ems. It would have featured imp-like aliens and vegetables which attempted to destroy a space station.
I love when you know, VeggieTales rises up to destroy a space station.
It had to be rewritten to accommodate Jamie McCrimmon. Ems became ill and had to rewrite it again to feature the loss of Ben Jackson and Polly. The story was eventually postponed, replaced by the underwater menace. He eventually gave up, and the Faceless Ones was written as a departure story for Ben and Polly.
There you go.
Reuses features of the story in Find Your Fate and Novel Mission to Venus. Okay, great. I needed to know. Oh, that was everything. Sorry.
That was everything.
I was like, oh boy. Okay. Well, Taylor, you have a world famous synopsis for us. So take it away.
Well, the Dr. Ben, Polly, and new companion Jamie land in Atlantis. Yes, it's apparently real insofar as canon is concerned, and the local Atlanteans are under the belief that a Dr. Zarkov will herald Atlantis's return to the surface, where presumably all sorts of awesome stuff will happen.
Yeah.
However, Zarkov, who sounds a little bit like Dr. Nick Riviera.
Oh my God.
Hi, everybody.
Oh my God.
And his plan will more likely split the Earth open, drain the ocean, and, yes, reveal Atlantis before causing the greatest cover of under pressure in history before it blows the Earth to pieces. Can Team TARDIS save the planet and stop Zarkov, this underwater menace?
Oh boy, Taylor, I messaged you yesterday.
You did.
At, I can't remember what time it was, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I said, this, we could file this under, this serial could have been an email.
Kinda, yeah.
And I said I had only watched three episodes at that point. After finishing it, I think it was fine, but it's not my favorite. I don't want to say Mr. Sokol was correct, but he wasn't completely wrong either.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, I like the concept, I think, and then I don't know. This honestly felt like it could have been a two-parter.
I feel like there was a lot of parts, and I certainly didn't hate it by any stretch of the imagination. But
I don't think I hated it, but
no,
there are some, like, there's some fun bits,
yes,
in here. I mean, we'll get to them.
Yeah. So I enjoyed it, but there came a point where I was kind of like, I feel like stuff's just happening and I'm not taking any notes on it because I don't really feel like,
yes,
there's anything of substance to comment on, if that makes any sort
of
sense.
No, that makes absolute sense, because I was watching, I can't remember what episode it was, and I was like, it's been like 3.5 minutes and I haven't written one note down.
Mm-hmm.
You better start writing random notes.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like that kind of happened in episode 3
for me. Yes.
And then things kind of got so chaotic in 4.
Yeah.
As like everything's coming to a head, that I kind of was just following what was going on rather than like taking notes about it.
Yeah. That's about where I was too. Now, there's one thing I want to talk about, and I feel like I'm trying to figure out how I want to talk about this, and I want to talk about the animation. I don't think when it first started, I was like, "Oh boy, this is not great."
Okay, it wasn't just me.
So, but here's the thing that I'm thinking of as I go on and watch this. I don't necessarily need this to be like award-winning animation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, at least in this serial's case, I think the animation was fine. And I only say that because what was most of this serial, what did it have? It had a lot of standing around and talking.
Yes.
So I really can't harp too, because it's almost like, well, what were they supposed to do? And I mean, everything, like, you know, the running, like, I think is that episode 4 where they're in the, like, the bazaar or whatever, which is a great scene, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's like running, we have some struggles, but nothing like out of the ordinary that I would be like, wow, I can't believe they used this animation style to choreograph this fight scene, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, like, while I get where it was just like, oh, this animation is rough, I certainly like it better than watching the screen caps.
The telesnaps. Yeah, completely. Thing. And I, you know, yes, there is a little bit of awkwardness to the animation. I think at one point in, like, episode 1, like, Jamie's arms, like, something about how, I can't remember if it was either about how, like, his forearms rotated.
Yes.
Or something about, like, the length of his upper arm compared to his forearm looked like off, just off. And it kind of took me out of things for a moment. But I actually really, really want to sing the praises of the background art.
Yeah, the background art was great.
The background art looked amazing. Like I don't remember exactly what room they were in, but it was very, like, it was like 80s synthwave.
Yes.
Like, the colors looked great.
The market looked great too.
The market looked great. Like, the big, like, main chamber when, like, our fish people came in and, like, they were chanting.
Yes.
Like, it looked, like, I'm not joking, it really looked like something out of, like, an old Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, yes,
absolutely. And I say that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Just the colors and the design of, I mean, I think there were helmets because the actual fish people were the ones who were like the slaves and then later unionized and rose up.
Yes. You're talking about the people in the room chanting to the giant jade statue. Yeah. Those were all, regular people who were just wearing masks.
But I loved how those masks looked.
No, they look great.
And I loved, and there were also, God, it must have been some of Zarkov's men, and they had like these blue jumpsuits.
They had
like,
X-Men.
I was comparing it to the Wonder Twins.
Ah, yes, form of a fish person. Yes,
that's exactly right. Yes, yes. Which I think the Wonder Twins were a little bit more purple than blue, but still had that same kind of look and feel.
No, yeah.
And I'm pretty certain that the shape of the letter Z that are like on all their belt buckles or whatever is literally the same Z from like the Nissan 240.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It had that little serif.
Yes. Halfway through the second episode, I went, why do they all have a Z? And then I went, oh, are you kidding me? This dude makes them all wear the first initial of his last name. What a loser.
Oh, come on. Look at how maniacal he is.
He's out of his mind. Yes.
I mean, but he also has the best line of the whole story.
Oh, yes, he does. But before we get to that, we also took liberties with how the fish people looked.
Yes.
And I think, great redesign.
I liked it a lot better.
Yes, I did. I thought it was pretty cool. And then we also have just the regular Atlanteans who we have one person who's helping out Polly a lot. I can't remember her name.
Yes, I don't remember her name either. But
yeah, but the look of them was great too.
Totally.
Just yeah, I thought like the animation did what it was supposed to do. And like when because I was in the same boat where I was just like, I don't know about this animation. But then I was like, well, what are they really doing?
Well, yeah. And at the end of the day, like anytime that I find myself being too critical, at the end of the day, we have an animated story that is not Telesnaps that anyone of any current or future generation can watch.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, I've now seen this story, and it's not like I've listened to this story with pictures, like I'm in kindergarten or something.
Yeah.
I would have liked, with some of the fish people seen, to have a little bit more of the Super Mario Brothers underwater level
music.
Sorry. It's classic. No. It's great. It's great underwater music.
That would have been great. I would have loved that.
That would be a very easy thing to whip up in like video editing software.
Oh man. I mean, just on the animation, I think we can close the book on the animation. Mm-hmm. So Jamie, this is Jamie's first time on the TARDIS. And there's a line that I think, I can't remember who says it to him. I think it's Ben. He says, yes, it'll take you away from Scotland forever. And it's like, geez, I don't think that's what he signed up for.
Right.
I was like, way to start him off on the wrong foot
on
here.
A downer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say all of Troughton's bits in this are great. Like the dramatic saying wait before they go outside. And then I love that. Hold on a second here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. I didn't even have notes for one episode.
Oh, wow.
That's where I was. I was like, huh? What is happening? I loved all the Doctor's bits throughout. I did enjoy the banter between Zaroff and the Doctor.
Yep.
I thought that was all great.
Would you, speaking of Zaroff, because I know he factors into this story quite a bit, I couldn't decide if his accent was more German or vaguely Spanish.
That is a good question, and I wonder if we would be able to know that. If we just, what is our actor's? He's Austrian born.
Oh, okay. So maybe a little closer to Germany.
Maybe.
Than Spanish. There, like I said, he sounded a bit like Dr. Nick Riviera at times. And, you know, he is kind of walking that kind of like, I don't know, two European accents at the same time kind of
yes
fence.
Yes.
Because we walk fences. I don't know.
Maybe. Possibly. I want to see if we can find out where Professor Zaroff is supposed to be from.
I don't know. I didn't see anything in the show notes that jumped out at me.
Well, apparently in the book of the Underwater Menace, he had a pronounced East European accent together with a slight American twang is how they describe it.
What?
I don't know. That's, what? Yeah.
Part Estonia, part what, Nebraska?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Twang, maybe Nebraska doesn't twang as much as, say, you know, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Good heavens. Eastern, how that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I am strut. No, I. How do you get that? I mean, unless you lived in one place for most of your life and then moved, I guess. But
yeah,
still, yeah, I don't know. That's weird.
You know, I know I said we closed the book on the animation, but one thing I would have loved to see. I would have loved. So in the first episode, we all get captured and we're going to be sacrificed to sharks.
Yes, and we because
the vases.
They're next on Shark Tank.
Yes, we have the vases and we empty them of the water, so it tips them slowly into
right,
which is great. I love that. I yeah. want to know what this shark footage looked like.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to know.
I bet it was stock footage.
Most likely, but I kind of almost just wish it was somebody underwater with just a fin. You know, yes. Like just going back yes. and forth.
The classic.
That would have like been great.
A toy shark pulled on a string.
So instead of everyone dying, the doctor claims he has the secret, and then he gets to hang out with the doctor, with Zaroff, but everyone else gets put to work, and Polly is going to be turned into a fish person.
Yes, because fish oil is high in omega-3s.
Yes, apparently. I was just like, huh, this is a lot.
It is.
It's a lot.
It is, but for a story that was started and then abandoned and then resurrected, and then the time they had on set, sounds about right.
Yeah, definitely sounds right. Now, I asked you another question yesterday, and I didn't realize about the ear thing, but
yeah,
I thought the audio mix on this, it just felt really bad. There were crazy, annoying sound effects in episode 2, which I figured out
was
probably yes. the sound of the drill they were using.
I think so, and that was, even with plugged up ears due to illness, was annoying to listen to. Yeah.
Then in episode 3, we're having characters saying dialogue, but I feel like the music was way too loud and I could barely understand what they were saying. And granted, I know we're just going off of audio, but I wonder if they could have maybe attempted to clean that up, or they did and that was the best they could get. But holy,
yeah, I don't know.
It was something else. It was not great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at my notes here to see what else I did. Oh, okay. In episode 2, there is a part where I believe the doctor, he wants to talk to the priest.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, he gets introduced to the priest. He says, is there somewhere we can go where no one can hear us? And they go somewhere and have a private conversation. The priest leaves, and then the doctor begins playing the flute as loudly as he can.
Yes, and which is funny because right when he first started playing, I'm like, is he sending Morse code? Oh, no, he's not. Okay.
No, he's just giving away. Like, all these people are like, what the heck is that? Probably.
Yeah.
The fish dancing scene. In
So
that is just like, that feels like, was that necessary for... Because were they trying to communicate that they need to stop feeding or getting food? For I don't know. It's very weird.
Yeah, I don't know if somewhere along the way someone went, well, how would they communicate? Well, I don't know. Bees communicate by dancing.
Charades.
Yeah. Let's have the fish people do that.
Might as well.
I still think it's hilarious that we've got these two guys who are working in the mines.
Oh, yes.
Rodgers and Hammerstein, or whatever you want to call them. I can't remember their names.
Actually, I mean, I think their names were, it might have been Ramo and Loyum.
Sure.
Loyum.
Okay.
That might have been them. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's hilarious because they kind of go to talk to the fish people to be like, hey, you know what? You need to put down your tools and rise up against the man.
Yes.
And I think it's hilarious that the one guy basically insults the fish people in order to like get them on his side. And I'm like, this isn't going to work.
Oh,
this is totally right. This is not good. It worked.
It worked. It's Sean. It's Sean and Jacko is their names.
Jacko. That's he must be Australian.
Maybe.
They love putting O's on the ends of people's names.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so the premise of this was, Zaroff's like, I can raise Atlantis out of the ocean, but I guess that's not his plan.
It's more of a trick of perspective.
Yeah.
He's going to raise it out of the ocean by draining the ocean into the center of the earth.
Yes.
Sure.
Which will apparently cause a giant explosion.
Well, yeah, because that water is going to boil. It's going to steam. Stuff's going to expand, you know, kind of like science. What he did with the jar and the... It's science. It's exactly right.
Oh, yes. The jar that exploded. Or not the jar. The vase.
Yeah. Vase, clay jar. Vase. The bit of pottery.
So basically, everyone's like, we don't believe you, Doctor. It's going to be fine. And then... they see an exploding vase and they're like, oh man, obviously he's right now.
Yep.
And episode 3 is just kind of, this is where it all kind of goes downhill here.
But does have quite the ending.
Yes, it does. Because I think at one point we devise a plan to, and I think episode 3 is when we... Is that when they're about to be sacrificed, where the doctor and the priest are about to be sacrificed by getting their heads cut off in the chamber?
I think so. And then they just sneak out while they're not looking.
Well, because they use that thing to like talk like they're the voice of God or whatever.
Yes. That's toward the beginning of the episode. Yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. I loved that. Yeah. And then when they go back, they're like, it was a miracle that we sacrificed them, but we didn't even have to cut their heads off. They just disappeared, and we heard his voice. And I love that Zaroff is like, that's a load of BS because there's no way that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
I just know. And they're like, no, we believe this. And he's like, but I did love the kidnapping scene when they kidnap Zaroff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fakes a heart attack.
Oh, yes.
Which
is.
I'm trying to remember what show that is from where someone keeps pretending to, like, have a heart attack to get out of things.
I don't even know.
Oh, I really cannot remember what. I think it was an animated show, and I'm literally just forgetting what it was. But anyway, yeah.
But look, man, nothing in the world can stop Zaroff now.
Yes. So
except, you know, everything.
Drowning. Yes. Oh,
I mean, yeah, that octopus.
I will say, like, that was great. That was a great ending line and also like a great finish to where, like, first he fakes the heart attack and he chokes a man to death. Does he shoot him too? I can't remember. Oh, no, he stabs him.
Yeah, skewers him.
He chokes him and then stabs him. And we get blood in this.
Yeah, we do.
A couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when the leader of the Atlanteans figures out that, the doctor was right. And, Zaroff shoots him, and then his guards shoot the other two people. And then that's when we get, nothing in the world can stop me now, which is a great finishing line, especially after committing many murders.
Yes.
Holy. And then episode 4 is just a whirlwind of absolute craziness.
It totally is.
I love when I think it's Ben, dressed up as one of Zaroff's guard, takes the doctor to, like, he's trying to get him to Zaroff, or no, he's trying to get him to the control center so he can, like, mess everything up and start flooding the underground. And the guy asks him for the password, and he's like,
God, yes.
He's like, I don't have time for a password. I have this guy.
Yes.
And then when they're I have my orders. And then when he's like, fine. And then I love the doctor goes, you don't know the password either. And he goes, yeah, I do. It's this.
Yeah. Yep.
And then they use it to get into the next door. I thought that was great.
That was pretty genius.
And the doctor and his like beggar disguise. It's just great. It's fun. I loved it. I actually almost wanted to make that my profile picture somewhere. The picture of the animated picture of him in his disguise.
Yes.
And I mean, I guess yada yada yada. Zaroff drowns because this octopus realizes that he's evil. That
pretty much.
That was also like an amazing animated scene where he has this pet octopus, and the octopus, like, they lock him out of the lever that's literally going to start the drill, I assume, right?
Yeah, basically, like he's reaching through these bars on this door that's dropped down, and it's just out of reach. Like, he is stretching so hard, and the octopus is in there, and then the water gets high enough for the octopus to kind of crawl out.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, my octopus friend, you can pull the handle. The octopus is like...
He motions to him like, yeah, do this. And the octopus like goes, nope, and swims away.
Yep. Does the tentacle equivalent of flipping him off. And is like, I'm out, bro.
Which is another thing that I would have loved to see how they did was the octopus.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
That would have been fun as well. And then we kind of just peace out. We're like, well, we drowned that guy. Well, that's not true. The doctor says, I need to go back and save him.
And Ben is not having it.
Ben is like, no, absolutely not.
And then we get this like scene where, you know, our four-person TARDIS team is separated, and they each come out of like the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking the other half is dead.
Yes.
And that's kind of interesting to watch. You're like, aw.
Yeah.
We know better.
Yes.
But they don't.
They do not. No. No, they do not. and yeah, we get in our English police box, and we don't say goodbye to the two people who have helped us through most of the
totally the just left behind and stranded.
Yeah, they're just there. They're just, all right, see ya, and they just leave. And then the TARDIS is out of control and sounds bad.
Yep. As we head into, I think the moon base is after this one.
Yeah, I believe that is correct. Yeah, moon base is after this. Which, have we watched moon base? No.
Nope.
Well, I mean, because half of it's missing.
Yeah.
And of course, the ones that are missing are episodes 1 and 3. How does that make sense at all? I don't know. Anyway, and it's a Cyberman story.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, do you have anything else to say about the underwater menace before we start hitting buttons here?
I do not.
All right. Well, that means time to start hitting buttons.
I've got all the machinery I need. Stand back.
It's time for the Tugger Scare.
Shooting and stabbing people? I don't know.
I guess a sassy octopus?
Oh, yes.
Maybe?
I mean, I'm fine with...
I mean, it would be funnier if like the octopus had like punched Zaroff.
Yes.
That would be much more Duggan.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to go, because I don't want to give anything a 0.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this a 1.
I think the only thing, and I can't even really like put it officially on the Duggan scale, is just Zaroff's plan is just so bonkers.
Yeah. Yes, like, it is.
That's the crazy part. Yeah. But it's not really a, you know, I punched my way out of a cafe, or, you know, pulled a gun on Romana because I wanted coffee, or, you know, whatever.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and if we can't give it a 1, then we give it a, you know, not enough data.
Not enough data. Actually, you know what? I'll go with that. Not enough data.
Yeah. There are some crazy bits to the story. There are some bonkers aspects to it, but they don't really fit the Duggan mold.
No.
So, yeah.
All right.
Not up.
Gathering close, it's time for the Behind the Close Scale.
What do you think? I mean, I feel like the same thing almost.
For the most part, although I really like how the maniacal laugh came out. It's not scary at all. And I think the animation helps with that. Although looking at pictures, I don't think anybody could find those fish people scary.
No.
But I mean, like I said before, it kind of looks like a Scooby-Doo adventure at times. And yeah. Then Scooby-Doo's not scary. No. So I definitely don't think anybody would have a reason to hide behind the couch with this one.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Yeah. Well, what are we watching next time, Taylor?
Well, we've got another 2 weeks, but I will admit that we're going to be on a little bit of a vacation for part of spring break for part of that. So we're going to jump into Modern Who. We are going to watch the Ninth Doctor story, The Long Game.
Ah, yes.
Starring people, written by people, directed by people.
Yes, absolutely.
I should have written that stuff down.
I mean, I could do it real quick, starring Christopher Eccleston as the Ninth Doctor. Billy Piper as Rose Tyler. We also have Bruno Langley as Adam Mitchell.
Right, yeah.
And guest starring Simon Pegg as the editor.
Yeah.
It was written by Russell T. Davies and directed by Brian Grant.
Okay. There you go.
I got all that.
All of them people.
All of them are. You were not wrong. You're not wrong in that.
There you go.
Before we start plugging away here, Taylor, do you want to tell the people about the next episode of Phenomenosity Limits?
Oh, sure. So April 1st, I'll be dropping the next Phenomenosity Limits. We actually take a look at two different types of astrology, which we've never really talked about astrology before. And Seb went and did both our charts. And we basically do kind of like a double blind, like we don't know which style of astrology is which chart. So we literally just like kind of like read them out and discuss them a little bit and then go, you know what? I feel like this style fits, is a better description of than the other one. And then we figure out, are they the same? Are they, you know, one of each? It was kind of an interesting, it was an interesting discussion. And the kind of like weird goofy part is, this whole concept, came to Seb while watching some very obscure, only relatively recently rediscovered film called The Astrologer from like 1975. And that movie was made, Lauren would get a kick out of this because, each day's like shooting was basically decided by astrology rather than like, here's our script, here's our shooting, here's our location. It's like, okay, we're doing this today. And so that was kind of bonkers. And it sounds like it was a really weird ass movie. I won't lie.
Yeah. So
check that out, in 1 week's time.
There we go. Well, you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at The Podcastica. You can follow me on Twitter at JP Thrice, and you can follow Taylor on Twitter
at BusBuddha71.
Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. Just search Podcastica, rate and review us as well. You can also head on over to soundcloud.com/TheNOTLG. NOTLG.myspreadshop.com for all of the NOTLG merchandise you could ever want and more. Patreon.com/NOTLG if you just like to donate to us monetarily. And also just keep supporting your local shops. I did forget to mention one thing, and I can't believe I forgot to plug this like a complete loon, if you will. I am going to be at a panel this coming Saturday night in room 207 at WonderCon. I will be participating in the Welcome Parties Pop Culture Fantasy Draft. I have no idea what the brackets for this are. I think that's the point. I'm very interested to see what happens here, but I'm excited.
We'll look forward to hearing how it went on our next episode.
Yes, I will absolutely make sure to let you know that.
Yeah, please.
I'm literally like, what am I going to wear to this, Taylor? I don't know.
Definitely your flame jacket.
Oh, you think I should wear the Bam Bam jacket?
Heck yes.
All right, I'll wear the Bam Bam jacket. That's usually a pretty good go-to.
Yep.
All right, fair enough. Works for me.
I'll
wear my Bam Bam hat, too. Look at that.
Yes.
Although LAFC does have a game that day, so maybe I'll wear my hat. Anyway, folks, that's it for us this week. Join us again in 2 weeks' time when we're talking about The Long Game. And we'll talk to you then.
See ya.
Oh, no. Sorry. I heard the beep, and I went, I need to get rid of everything that could make a beep or a ding or whatever on my desktop here.
Just wait for the beep.